Testing 1, 2, 3. Okay, we're ready. We are on page 115. We're going to be talking about consecrated, what it means to live for the Lord, what it means to have a consecrated life before Him. So why don't we pray and just ask God's blessing, His anointing upon it today. Lord, we thank You that we're here once again, Lord, just to study Your Word. We commit this time to You, Lord, that You would help us all to really see and understand what it means to be Your chosen vessels that are consecrated for Your purpose. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the focus of this lesson is having our lives God-centered. How many have a God-centered life? Obviously you do, or you wouldn't be in this program. Unless you're just going through the motions. Anybody just going through the motions? I'm sure you're going to admit that, but I have confidence, I have faith that you guys are all purposing to be God-centered people. So we're talking about God-centered to the extent that our lives evolve around being focused on God's purpose and ways rather than our own plans and purposes. How many know that many are the plans in the mind of a man? You know, we have all kinds of plans. And so we want to take all of those plans and dedicate them to God's purpose. We want His plan to come forth in our lives. Because we can manipulate, we can do all kinds of things to try and, you know, get somewhere. But God has a destination for each one of us. He has a destiny for each and every one of us. And the only way we will get there is by following His plan and by being dedicated to His plan, being consecrated to His plan. We'll talk about what consecration means. And so we will see what it really means to live a consecrated life for God and what it should produce in our lives. God's desire is for us to be fruitful in all things that pertain unto Him. Everything we do, we want to be fruitful. Colossians 1:9-10 says this, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God." That is a mouthful of what God has for each and every one of us. That we would continually be increasing in the knowledge, being filled with His will in all wisdom, spiritual understanding. What that means is that we have to live for God in every aspect of our lives. Every aspect. Now, you don't need to raise your hands, but how many of you have corners of your heart that may not be totally consecrated unto God? And that's what we're after here, is that God wants us to be totally consecrated unto Him, giving everything to Him. And so if we're to have a life that is fully pleasing unto God and bearing fruit in every good work, we must be a people who are living for God in every aspect of our lives. We are to reckon ourselves alive to God in all areas of our lives. And we'll dissect that a little bit and talk about what areas we're talking about as we go through this lesson. Romans 6, verse 10 says, "For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise," speaking of Jesus, now us, "likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 14:8, New International Version. "If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or we die, we belong to the Lord." That's it in a nutshell. We belong to God. We are His to do whatever He wants with. We are His chosen vessels. And God will use us however He chooses as we consecrate ourselves unto Him. And so our Christianity has to consist of more than just attending church once a week. I mean, that's where a lot of Christianity is at. It's like, okay, go put in my hour at church, have a good conscience towards God. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about living 24/7 for Him, that our life is His. We're to reckon ourselves alive to God in all of these areas. And so if we're to have a life that's fully pleasing to the Lord, it will take giving ourselves to Him each day of the week, every area, to be fully consecrated unto Him. Okay, let's define consecration. Definitions of consecration. Webster's Dictionary defines it as to make, declare, or set apart as sacred. To dedicate some service or goal. To make holy or sacred. Honored as holy, hallowed. In the Greek, if you look in your Strong's Concordance, it's number 1457. It means to renew or inaugurate, consecrate, dedicate, to make holy, to consecrate, to venerate, or to hallow, to be holy, to sanctify. In the Hebrew, it means to make or pronounce or observe as clean, or to appoint, bid, consecrate, dedicate, defile, or hallow, or holy, keep, prepare, proclaim, purify, sanctify, get the idea, being holy before the Lord. Holy before the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the Lord God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, that and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the only hope we have in that is through His righteousness, isn't it? Being blameless. Is standing in His righteousness, being perfect in Him. So, when we look at, and then in 2 Timothy 2:21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So, do we want to really be prepared for God's work in our lives? Then it's going to take consecration, being totally dedicated to Him. Or do we just want to go through life making wood, hay, and stubble that gets burned up? That's performance. That's just doing it our way, whatever we see fit, through our own devised plans. And so consecration refers to persons or things being separated to or belonging to God. They are holy. They are sacred. They're set apart for service of God. You know, I think, in fact, I really believe this with all my heart, is that every Christian should go through an initial time of total separation and sanctification, being set apart. Like you have a season in your life. I went through, you know, 2 or 3 years in my life where I had very little worldly influence, very little. Never watched TV. I wouldn't say never. Never is not a good word because that means never. I mean, for the most part, I don't remember watching TV in those years. I'm sure I may have, you know, at some friend's house or something, but I didn't have one. But it was a season in which I really dedicated myself. I didn't listen to worldly music. That doesn't mean I thought it was sinful or whatever. It was just, I wanted to go through a season where I was just being purified in every way, that I was just really wanting to set myself apart, being sanctified, so that I could build that foundation that God wanted to build in my life. So then I would eventually have a sound mind and able to discern, you know, what liberties I could partake of and which ones I couldn't or whatever. And so it's not a legalistic thing. But I really believe that when you go through, that you guys are in that season right now. You're in the season, and what I'm saying is that take advantage of it. Use it as that time of being totally separated from the world and, you know, everything that's out there, because you get tainted so easily by the world. And when we go through that season, I mean, to me, it's like those 3 years of my life were foundational. I mean, it was like, that's what set me up. was being set apart for that season in which God could really, in the years ahead, use me as one of his vessels of righteousness. And so I just want to encourage you with all of my heart to, I know you're coming to the close of this season. You're at the end of your two-year commitment. And I know it's sad, isn't it? But it happens. You know, you come to the end. But what are you going to do from here on out? See, you're going to take what God has placed in your lives during this season and take it to the world. It's going to better prepare you to live a balanced, holy life out there where there's so many more temptations and, you know, things to allure you and take you away. But the stronger that foundation is here, you know, while you're in this program, really building on that, it's going to preserve you for the days ahead. It really will. Because you will experience. See, you have to go through life kind of knowing that, yeah, things will be thrown at me. I will be tempted. And so it's like knowing that, prepare ahead. It's like in Proverbs says, ponder the path of your feet. You know, ponder the path of your feet. Begin to think about that. Begin to build a resolve. See, in your hearts, according to God's word, you know, how am I going to respond if this situation happens? Think about it. Ponder the path of your feet. You know what kind of a person you are. All of you do. You know the temptations you experience. You know the challenges you're going to experience. You kind of know, you know, different decision things that are going to come up. Ponder those things. See, where do you really want to go? You have to think about your future. Where do you want to be 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now? Do you still want to be serving the Lord with fervency? See, it's not going to happen by osmosis. It's going to happen because you purposed in your heart. You pondered the path of your feet. See, you allowed, you know, God to really consecrate you and to get that consecration really molded into your spirit. So this lesson really kind of works through all of that. And so it refers to, consecration refers to person or things being separated or belonging to God. They're holy and sacred. My life is holy and sacred. They are set apart for service of God. The Hebrew word kadosh or the Greek word hagazel are translated into several different English words like holy, consecrate, hallow, sanctify, dedicate, so on. And so here's some of the areas of our lives that have to be sanctified, that have to be consecrated. Gotta be careful my voice doesn't give out. Marriage, of course, none of you are married yet, but you will be, most likely. And and family, you weren't going to have a family, but you know, now's the time to start thinking about that. See, I mean, thinking about what kind of a mate you want. You know, when it talks about being unequally yoked, I mean, you can deal with that in a legalistic way. Yeah, obviously, I don't want to be unequally yoked to an unsaved person. But I've seen people pretty much put their lives in stalemate because they married a mate that was less spiritual than them, that was very carnal in a lot of ways. And that's a hard thing to work through. And so you want to find somebody that's commensurate to where you are at in the Lord. Somebody that's going to encourage you in that process and cause you to grow into all that God has for you. And so your church life needs to be totally separated, consecrated unto God, because your church life can get out of hand too. We can go to church for all the wrong reasons, and sometimes we can go too often or too much or not enough or whatever. God knows the balance, and he knows what involvement, what is for you there, you know, things you're going to be involved in, all that kind of stuff, you know, you have to work through. Your friends and relationships, this is a big one right here. Yeah, I would say the number one thing that will attack you will be your friends and relationships. If you don't have, I gave my son a scripture today. He's getting ready to move to Hawaii. It's found in Proverbs. I says, I believe this is the scripture God wants you to really walk in for the next season of your life. And it talks about finding people that are of wisdom. instead of hanging around with fools, you know, and that whole thing. And, you know, because we can destroy our lives. Friends have a lot of influence. They do. And we all like to please other people. We go through the whole thing of acceptance and all of that. Those are the issues that are going to pull you down. And so unless those issues are totally consecrated to the Lord. See, and where's that consecration going to come from? It's going to come from, okay, I'm going to ponder the path of my feet. I'm going to resolve that this is the kind of person I'm going to be. I'm going to resolve these are the kind of friends that I'm going to have. I want friends that, you know, basically, you know, that are going to challenge me, take me beyond where I'm at. I think we really need to have friends on all levels, some that are above us, some are really right there, and some that are under us in a way so that we're nurturing others as we're being nurtured by other people. And so we need all of those kinds of relationships to really be healthy in the Lord. And I believe that if we just look around, and this isn't something that we have to, you know, get in turmoil over or anything else. I believe God will bring the people into our lives that are necessary for us. And that we need to be open to the Holy Spirit when He's doing that and recognize, see, if we have an ongoing relationship with the Holy Spirit, we are going to recognize that God is bringing this person into my life for a purpose. See, God doesn't do anything without purpose. What is your purpose in this, God? See, what is your purpose in this relationship? Whether it's male, female, or whatever. You know, what? Ask God, what is your purpose? What do you want me to do here? That's what it means to live a consecrated life before Him. Your finances. Your finances have the ability to destroy you. They really do. If you don't get a hold of your finances in the right way, it'll keep you in bondage. And you'll never be truly set apart as a vessel that God can use at His whim because you're too in bondage. And that's why you have to be very careful about buying into the, quote, American dream. The American dream can lead you astray. It really can. And so, you know, my wife and I, we chose a long time ago, part of our value system is to live simple, not to overextend ourselves, but to keep our lives as simple as we can. And it's paid good dividends in doing that. You know, we're not in bondage. And that's a good thing. And so, school. Some of you are going back to school. How many are going back to school? Anybody? See? That's not a bad thing. Get an education. But that's going to be very, it's a field of temptation. I mean, you're going to have every temptation out there. You're going to have philosophies out there that will attack you. I mean, so you got to know who you are. You got to know where you're standing as you go into that, see? And not allowing this thing or that thing or that thing to pull you, but you make your mark, see? Live as a consecrated person. Your thought life. We all deal with that, don't we? I mean, wouldn't it be nice if we just didn't have to deal with that one? Get that under control. But we can get it under control when we purpose to get it, when we ponder those things, you know. What am I going to spend my time thinking about? How am I going to allow those thoughts, see, to be really crucified? I mean, doesn't it say in the Scriptures, bring every thought into captivity of the obedience of Jesus Christ? And the more you let your thoughts go wild, the harder it is to get them under control. So when those thoughts enter in, okay, I'm living as a consecrated person. I need to let this thought be consecrated unto You, Lord. Work, business, play, recreation, anything else. I mean, you can make up your own list there. Think about the things. Think about the things that are going to affect your life. How are you going to live as a consecrated person? And so do all of these areas belong to the Lord? You should ask yourself, does this area belong? Do my relationships belong to the Lord, or am I choosing to maintain control there? Are you living for the Lord in these areas? These are questions we have to ask ourselves if we're truly have a desire to live for the Lord and to walk in a way that's pleasing unto Him. You should ask yourself, are these areas of my life dedicated to God's purposes? Or am I just simply walking in my own selfish desires? That wouldn't be a good thing, because we all have selfish desires. And, you know, I don't care how old we are in the Lord, we have to deal with our selfish desires. Paul says, I die daily. And, you know, some of my selfish desires are simply wanting to spend time alone sometimes and not get involved with other people or whatever. But I realize that, you know, that those are selfish desires. And if I let those rule my life, then I'm not going to be living according to God's purposes. Romans 12:1, NIV. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Another translation says, this is your reasonable service of worship, to just present yourself as a living sacrifice unto God. And so the sooner we really get that concept built into our hearts and our minds that, you know what? I'm a living sacrifice. My life is a sacrifice. I do not own my life. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. And you know the wonderful thing about belonging to God is that God cares more about our lives than we do. He knows how to take better care of our lives than we do. And so if we follow Him, if we are truly consecrated to Him, He's going to give us the things that we need of. He's going to give us the rest that we need of. We're not going to burn out. See, when we burn out, it's simply because we are living and working according to our own devices and running in our own ways. But if we're truly living according to God's plan and purpose for our lives, He's taking care of us. He's giving us the rest that we need. Okay, here's four basic principles that are needed. If we are to live our lives for God in a way that's pleasing unto Him and bearing fruit in every aspect of our lives, there are some basic principles that are needed to assure us that we're not deceiving ourselves and living our lives that don't reflect God's purpose. How many know that we have the greatest ability to deceive ourselves? The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And so we always have to challenge ourselves, Lord, am I being deceitful? Am I deceiving myself? Most likely we probably are, in some areas, deceiving ourselves. But that's why we have the Word of God, so we can look at our lives through God's Word as a mirror and say, oh yeah, I guess I am in deception. I am living, you know, a deceptive life in a sense. And so I need to repent of that. I need to order my steps according to His Word. Number one, we must understand that we belong to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, that may sound really simple, but the truth of the matter is, it's not that simple to walk in every day of our lives, to realize, you know what, Lord? You bought me. You paid for me with your blood. That was a tremendous cost. I have no rights. See, as Americans, we understand our rights, that we have rights. But we have to come to a place where we realize that we really don't have rights. That we belong totally to God, that we are His servants, His slaves. We have become slaves to righteousness. And bond servants. That means on our own accord, we found that, you know what? We have realized, just like the servant in the Old Testament, they realized what a good thing that they had, living that life as a servant. And so when it came time for them to be free, rather than taking their freedom, they said, no, I'm going to serve you the rest of my life. And then they took an awl and drove it through their ear into the wall. And it's kind of gory, but that's the way they did it in the Old Testament. But the point is that they realized that their lives were much better off being a servant, being a bond servant. And that's what we have to realize, that our lives are going to be much better off. You know, when I look at people around me, especially sometimes you see, you know, your worldly friends, relatives and whatnot, you see their lives suffering on so many different levels, and you wonder, why am I not going through this? Why hasn't it hit me like that? And it's because my life belongs to the Lord. You know, it really does. It's His. And you know, the Bible says in Matthew 6 and verse 33, that if we seek first the kingdom of God, that means our lives are totally consecrated unto His kingdom, all of these things are going to be added unto us. As He's talking about all of your needs, your basic needs of life, food and shelter and clothing, all of those things. It's when we begin to abuse that we get into trouble and we get greedy. But when we come to the place where we just, okay, Lord, I just believe that You're going to take care of me. I'm going to concentrate on Your kingdom. I'm going to concentrate on being consecrated unto You. And God says, you know what? You do that, and I'll concentrate on taking care of your needs. And we just live our lives like that. And therefore, we have no worry. We don't have anxious thoughts. You know what? One of the big reasons people get depressed is that they're full of anxiety. Full of anxiety. I'm just reading that in Proverbs today, that an anxious heart brings about depression. Anxiety. And so God says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. I'll take care of you. And so, okay, I like that. I don't have to be depressed. I hate depression. I can't stand being depressed. I'll get myself out of it one way or the other. I just do not accept depression. And I know what it's like when it happens. You know, I can feel it coming on, and I say, I'm not gonna take this. I'm not gonna walk in this. I'm not gonna be anxious. A lot of times you can go back and you can trace down the thought that's feeding that anxiousness or that depression, and you begin to deal with it in an effective way. And it goes away instead of feeding yourself drugs to take care of it or whatever. Anyway, I won't go off on that. I think the world, the world thinks everybody is really stupid when you think about it. I mean, you know, you go to the doctor, they give you drugs for everything. Drugs are not the answer. I'm talking about prescription drugs. Okay, so we must understand that we belong to the Lord. When we look at ourselves as the Lord's bondservants, it should have a tremendous effect upon our lives as we relate to people and the circumstances that affect our lives. It should cause us to continually let our light shine before others so that God can be glorified in everything that we do. Do we want God to be glorified in everything that we do? We have to come. That takes total consecration. I mean, admit it. There are some things that you don't even want God looking at in your life. We need to open our lives to Him. My life is open book. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." How many of you have ever been somewhere and you witnessed somebody doing something really kind and good? How'd that make you feel? Did it make you feel good? Did you like it? How about when somebody does it for you? It's kind of wonderful. When somebody, I was going through the line at the grocery store the other day, and the checker was being really, you know, not obnoxious or anything, but she was just being warm and friendly and a nice smile. And, you know, it really made a difference. You know, sometimes we just forget how we can influence others just by the person that we are. It would mean I'm always at the Father's beck and call no matter what situation I'm in, because I am living for Him and not myself. In John 12, verse 26, it says in the NIV again, boy, I got a lot of NIV scriptures in this lesson. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. In other words, He says, wherever I am, my servant's going to be there. I know He'll be there. You know why? Because that's a consecrated servant. He can depend upon Him. And you know what's going to happen with that consecrated servant? He's going to experience some divine appointments because he's got a prepared heart. A lot of times we don't experience those divine appointments because our heart hasn't been consecrated to the Lord. We think, well, this is just a menial task that I'm going out to do. I don't need to get the Lord involved in it. The Bible says, acknowledge all of your ways unto the Lord, and He will direct your steps. See, by acknowledging Him, giving Him permission, saying, Lord, I'm going out today. I'm doing this and doing that. I am your servant. I want to be there, available, wherever you're working. And so you begin to look. You begin to open your heart and your mind and your ears to what's going on around you in a spiritual way, and you see opportunities in which God can use you. Which leads me to the next point. We must acknowledge God in all of our ways. Proverbs 3, 5. I must have been on a New International Version kick this day when I put this lesson together. I've never seen so many scriptures in the NIV. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. You know, this sermon, this when I first got this sermon, what I was doing, I was actually going up to preach. You know where James Stroop was going to preach in his dad's church up in Oregon years ago. And I didn't even take a sermon with me, and so I just figured the Lord would help me. I don't know what was my thinking, but anyway, we were in Portland because I think we were visiting my son. He was going to Bible college there at the time. And I was parked on the street, and Lydia was out doing something, and I was sitting in the car. And God gave me the whole message, just like within 5 minutes, I had it all, you know. And I went and preached that at his church, and then I developed it more, you know, and then came home and preached it at our church and whatnot. But this is the lesson. This is it right here. This is, when it first came forth, it wasn't, you know, as thorough as this, but that's where the seed came from. You know, I was just thinking about the whole thing about living our lives for God's kingdom, you know, living according to His purpose and what that entails. So we have to acknowledge God in all of our ways. Because the Lord owns us, we are never fully off duty with Him. He not only wants our attention all the time, but also in every area of our lives. Do you acknowledge God in your finances? Do you find yourself living under yourself in this area? Or are you giving it to God? What about the areas such as friendships, schooling, vacations, recreation, errands? Sometimes when we go on vacation, we kind of think, get an attitude that says, okay, it's time off from God. Just enjoy the vacation. And, you know, God gives us a rest and all of that, but we're never really off duty in the Lord. The point is, we are to live for God in every area that you can think of. Do we live for God even in the menial tasks, or is it just when we are specifically involved in some spiritual work that has been planned out? See, this is what we have to be careful about, is that, especially in a church like this where there's so many different areas we can get on board and begin to serve, and develop a mentality that says, okay, I'm serving in the church today, I'm being an usher, I'm being a greeter, I'm working at the cart, you know, I'm working at the store, or whatever it may be. I'm working in the nursery or the children's ministry. That's my area of service. Well, that's your area of service, but that's not your only service. Your area of service involves every aspect of your lives, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so we must get in the habit of constantly looking to God which reminds me of this pigeon story. This is funny. How many have ever observed pigeons walking? Here's what it's like. Have you ever wondered why a pigeon walks so funny? According to an interesting article in the Detroit Free Press, a pigeon walks the way it does so that it can see where it's going. Isn't that why any of us walk? So we can see where. My wife is always telling me, we're driving in the car, and she says, "You didn't even look to see if there was a car coming." Well, I saw them out of the corner of my eye. I got peripheral vision. But you still need to look. I have good peripheral vision. Anyway, here's why the pigeon walks the way it does. Because it can't adjust its focus as it moves. The pigeon actually has to bring its head up to a complete stop between steps in order to refocus. This is why it walks, head forward, stop, head back, stop. That's the way it goes. But isn't that what God really wants us to do? Is pay attention to where we're at. Don't get so... another thing that I have a tendency to do is not look where I'm putting my feet. You know, I stumble sometimes. My mom says, "Don't you look?" No, I'm looking around. Anyway, we have to learn to stop, pray, and meditate. Stop, pray, and meditate about every decision in life. But certainly our walk with the Lord, I mean, it isn't like we have to stop and meditate about everything, but our walk with the Lord needs to have built into it a pattern of stops, which enables us to more clearly see where we're going. That everyone, you know, because we can get on the fast track, and we just get going. That's the way we're wired. We just get moving, and all of a sudden we realize, what happened to God? He doesn't seem to be with me anymore. Did he disappear? No. He just went. You just missed a signal. You missed a signal because you didn't stop and you didn't listen. And we have to train ourselves sometimes to just, as we're going through life, I'm not talking about going to the grocery store or anything like that. I'm talking about life in general. You know, God has us on a course, and sometimes that course can deviate. It can turn, and we can miss an unexpected turn because we're so focused. And so if we take time to stop and listen periodically, "Lord, where are you leading me during this phase of my life? Where are you going in the next phase of my life?" Because, you know, just talking about the Holy Spirit in the last class, the Holy Spirit is to be our guide, isn't he? He's to be our help. He tells us things that are coming in the future. And that's not just future events. He's telling us, he's giving us a glimpse, an indicator in our own life, what's ahead, so that we can be prepared. So that when something, a decision comes, we can say, "Oh yeah, I saw that. I saw that in the Spirit. I saw God kind of moving me in that direction." And so it helps you to really navigate through life much easier when you've taken the time to focus and to consecrate yourself before him in those areas. Number three, we're to live a life of self-sacrifice. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." And so the Christian life is a life of self-denial and self-sacrifice. We're to follow the example of Jesus, who continually poured his life out as a drink offering to others. To live unto God and to join him in whatever he is leading you requires sacrifice. Our lives are not our own. Example, the other day, I'm at home. I haven't had my first cup of coffee yet. And my wife calls, and I'm not feeling that great anyway. And my wife calls me and says, "There's a couple here at the church that need a ride down to St. Vincent's to pick up their food. And why are you dragging me into this?" This is your ministry. But I realized, right away. I better respond right. I'll be there. But it wasn't like I wanted to be there. I really didn't. It was the last thing in the world I wanted to do at that time. But I said, you know what? I'm just going to go as a willing servant. I'm going to change my attitude. I'm going to have a good attitude. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be friendly. You know, I'm just going to act like I'm the nicest person in the world, even though I don't want to be doing this. Anybody ever felt like that? You know, that's just simply not allowing our feelings and our emotions to drive us. That's allowing our dedication, our commitment, and our consecration to drive us. Amen? Because we're not always going to feel like it. We have to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Okay, I'm going, I'm doing it as a living sacrifice. You know what? I did it and I enjoyed it. It was fun. I got to, you know, talk to the guy, you know. It wasn't bad at all. Our emotions, our feelings will catch up to our commitment. You know, but if we allow, you know, what we're feeling to determine how we're going to respond, then we've missed out. We're not in that place where God says, wherever I will be, there my servant will be as well. And I says, okay, I'm going to be your servant. But it started out as a sacrifice. It didn't end up as a sacrifice, but it started out as a sacrifice. And that kind of stuff happens all the time. It really does. Just a couple weeks ago, same type of thing, only it was a hospital visit to somebody that didn't go to the church, that just happened to have some kind of connection or whatever. I did not want to go out in the middle of the night in the rain and everything else for a hospital visit. But I did. I had to get my attitude in check. And we really do. We have to get our attitude. Jesus said, what did he say in Philippians? Have this attitude. Be of this mind, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. See? It's an attitude, a adjustment that causes us to really enjoy what the consecrated walk is all about. And so the Christian life is a life of self-denial and sacrifice. There's a lot of things that parents could do to please themselves, but they want to have a positive impact upon their children. If they do, it requires sacrifice on their part. There are times when you must deny your feelings and your emotions to accommodate others. It's when you do this that Jesus shines through. He really does. 2 Corinthians 4, always is, well, we're about done here, aren't we? Always, is now? 10 minutes? Okay. Always caring about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. And so all that we do should be for the glory of God and without offense to the consciences of others. As a Christian must not merely consider what is lawful, but what is expedient to edify others. Now, let me give you some examples of this. Let me read this first. NIV, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Now, that scripture is a good scripture to look at in the way we live our lives. Because in reality, all things are permissible. And so you really have to decide, are you going to live in the permissible realm of God's grace, or are you going to live in the beneficial realm of God's grace? See, as leaders, I believe God wants us living in the beneficial realm, not in those things that are just permissible. And that means denying yourself in many areas. Now, I'm not trying to impose this upon anybody, what I'm going to say, but this is what I live under. I choose not to drink alcohol in any way whatsoever, in any form whatsoever. Not because of a legalistic thing, but simply because I've never found anything beneficial about it. All I see is the destruction that it causes. All I see is the broken marriages, the broken families, and all the destruction that comes about. And why do I want to be a part of that? And so I choose to abstain totally from alcohol so that I can live in a more beneficial realm of God's grace. As I said, I'm not trying to impose this, but that's just one example. There's all kinds of examples in our life of things that we don't participate in. Because, see, for one thing, whatever leaders do in moderation, others will do much more. And so, as leaders, your life really does become, a life that people look at. I know a pastor one time up in Anchorage. He was not a pastor, he was an elder at that time. But at the end of the service, we'd always have the elders come up, and we'd have people come and pray, and we'd pray over them and all that. And he was standing there one time, and this guy came up to him and he says, "You know what? I have to forgive you." He says, "I observed you one day going into a liquor store and coming out of the liquor store with a package of something." He assumed it was liquor. It wasn't. It was a six-pack of Coke. But he didn't know. But the person had been an alcoholic, and it caused him to go on a long binge for several years because he saw someone that he respected partaking of a liberty that he so thought. And it stumbled him. And for that reason, we have to be careful, because there's many things that we may have a liberty to do that will stumble others. For instance, right now, in my early walk as a Christian, I had no liberty to listen to any kind of worldly music whatsoever. I didn't have the liberty to do that. I feel like I have certain liberties now. I mean, I'm careful, but it's not like everything I listen to is all Christian. But I'm not quickly either to invite everybody in to that liberty of mine that I have in that area, because I know that it could be a stumbling block to some people. And, I like to listen to the Beatles and 60s music. Shame on me, no. But, it's not like I'm at the stage in my life where I'm going to be seduced by that. You know what I mean? But I just enjoy that kind of music. I enjoy country music. It's like when I'm doing something, especially like if I'm in the kitchen washing dishes or something, I like to rock out. I just like to turn it up and just rock out. I don't want it to be, I just want to, so it depends on the mood. Help me, Lord. Okay. So you understand what I'm talking about here. We have to be careful. We our lives are influenced. See, people are influenced by you guys because you're interns, believe it or not. And for us to not think that we don't influence others in any way whatsoever is deception, because we do. We really do. Our life is not our own. And then in chapter 10, verse 23, it says, "You say, 'I am allowed to do anything,' but not everything is helpful. You say, 'I'm allowed to do anything,' but not everything is beneficial. Don't think only of your own good. Think of other Christians and what is best for them." That's what it means to live a consecrated life. And so we must consider ourselves, number four, crucified to the world. "I have been crucified with Christ, and no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." And so how can we live for God if we're still roaming around on the enemy's turf? Friendship with the world is enmity with God. A life dedicated to pleasing self will be absorbed with worldly and fleshly desires. You cannot look to God and live for God without reckoning yourself dead to carnal pursuits. If you are still having trouble, crucify the flesh and consider this illustration. I like this. A small plane. A pilot was flying in a small plane one day, and when he heard a noise which he recognized as the gnawing of a rat, wondering what its sharp teeth were cutting through, he suddenly realized with horror that it might be an electric wire. He then remembered that rodents can't survive at high altitudes. Immediately, he began climbing until finally he had to put on his oxygen mask. Soon, the gnawing sound ceased, and when he landed, he found the rat dead. Do you want to destroy the power of evil in your life? Then read the Bible regularly. Meditate upon its truths. Actively do God's will. Sinful appetites can't survive in such spiritual heights. Listen to the Heavenly Father as He calls His children to come up higher. What's it say in Colossians 3? Verse 1. It's there. Seek. Put your eyes on those heavenly things, remember? Seek those things that are above. That's what we want, to seek those things that are above. Ephesians says, walk in the Spirit, and you will what? Not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You won't. Okay, last thought here. 2 Corinthians 5:15, and He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. And so if you're truly living for Christ, there will be some remarkable characteristics in your life. Christ will become the supreme object of your life. You will have a constant hunger for God's Word. There will be a death to sin that you find hard to understand. You will have a sincere love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. There will be a free flowing of God's gifts and grace in your life as you minister to others. There will be a peace and a joy in the Holy Spirit that surpasses your understanding. And you will have many, many opportunities to share the love of Jesus with others. Amen? And so these are just a few of the characteristics that will overtake your life. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You today for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, that this Word is gone into our hearts. A seed from Your Word, Lord. Let it be planted in each of their hearts today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.